Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's nice to see each and every one of you this morning. There's no doubt about it. Nice to see some guests here. Wonderful to have them in our area. And we pray that your time is a blessing, that's for sure. And our sermon text for this 18th Sunday after Pentecost will be taken from the Old Testament. It's going to be taken from Genesis. And we're going to read from chapter 22. And seeing it's an Old Testament reading, you can remain seated and listen. Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read verses 1 through 19, reading in Jesus' name. Genesis 22. And it came to pass after these things, God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of the Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and the knife, and they both went, and both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself for a burnt offering. So they both of them went together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built the altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him upon the altar of wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called upon him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou any harm anything unto him. For I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, only son from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes, and looked, behold, a ram was caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, which is said to this day, In the mount the Lord shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven a second time, and he said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heavens, and the sand which upon the seashore, and the seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And the seed shall all in the nations be of the earth blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men and rose up together to Bethsaida, and Abraham dwelt in Bethsaida. Amen. Let's pray. Graciously, Father, this is your word that is before us, a very interesting glimpse of the old covenant. But yet, Father, it has such words of truth, it has such faith. We pray, Father, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. Allow us to see this faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is an account that we've heard many times, no doubt, throughout Sunday school, growing up in the church. It's probably a very confusing account for us if we were to be honest about it. But what it really strongly speaks is that God is truth. God speaks the truth, and God is above our circumstances. But will we laugh at him? Do we laugh at God? And do we laugh at God in our circumstance? And that might sound like a pretty cynical question to ask. There's no doubt about it. But if we look at when it was promised, even that now Sarah and Abraham, or Abram and Sarai, would have this child Isaac, we're told in chapter 18 of this same text that really Pharaoh is listening. She was listening to the conversation. And really when it was told that she was going to bear a son, she laughed. Am I to bear a son in my old age when my womanly position is used up? Is it really going to happen? And even when it was asked of her, why did you laugh? She even denied the aspect of laughing. I didn't laugh, but God didn't put up with it. He said, yeah, you did. Because it's unthinkable. Sarah was 99. Abraham was 100 years old. And sometimes we have a tendency as human beings to turn around and to dictate what God can and cannot do according to the circumstances around us. But yet he promises. He promises that this will take place. He promises in many different applications. You remember, he had promised previously, many chapters ahead of this. And Sarah said, it's not going to happen. And she turns around and she tells her husband, I have this servant, this maiden, Hagar, take her. Because sometimes in life we have a tendency to think when things aren't going the way we think they should go, that maybe we should add to it. Take her and have a child. So now Abraham listens and he goes with Hagar. And it causes problems, trust me. Jealousy starts. Issues start. Ishmael is born. There's struggles. Sometimes we need to be patient. In fact, I would say all the time. But it's difficult, isn't it? To be patient and wait upon the Lord when He speaks, when He promises that it will come to fruition. And this is important for us to understand even as we look at a message in such a way. Because God also promises to us in and through Jesus Christ, in spite of what the world tells you, in spite of what's going on around you, that there is salvation found in Him and Him alone. And we get restless. And when we get restless as human beings, we have a tendency to turn around and start debating how this can be. And as human beings, we often can turn around then and start dictating, well, we must have to do this too, or this too, or we must have to start this. And maybe then God will usher in. That's not it. You are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God. We turn around and then we see that when this even comes out in this aspect where she turns and laughs about the situation, then the Lord turns around in chapter 18, verse 14, and asks this question that is very, very important to us in this day and age. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for God? That's who we rest in. The one where nothing is too hard. Where nothing is impossible. When you're dealing with the situation, you're dealing in your life, and you're dealing with the struggles that you may have, do we turn to God the Father through Jesus Christ, and do we ask for the strength to continue to endure? That we would be lifted above the circumstance. Is there anything that is too hard for God? Does Paul not speak it also when he says, if God did not spare His only begotten Son for you, is there anything else He wouldn't do for you? To see the value, to see the love, to see the gift that has been given in our behalf is so immense. Is there anything too difficult? No, there is not. There is not anything that is too difficult for him. And so then we turn around in 21 and it said, the Lord visited Sarah as he said he would. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had promised. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham's son at an old age, at the set time which what? God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, and unto Sarah that was born unto him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised Isaac, being 8 days old, as God kind of commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born unto him. Ishmael at this time is about 13 years old. Sarah got Hetha 13 years before this. And they sought to take things into their own hand, and all that did is cause calamity, cause division, cause struggle. But God did not forget Hagar. He took care of her. But now we come to this point, the point of our message. God had promised. Humans in reality have laughed at the promises of God, but that did not prevent him from continuing in his promise. See, God's word is more consistent than our own doubts. And the child was born. So now we turn around and we understand this rosy situation. A miracle has happened. Oh my goodness. What God commended to us has come true. He is faithful to His word. Do we learn from that? In all honesty, I think Abraham learned. I think he acts in faith. Remember, even previously to this, way before even Ishmael was born, it was promised to Abraham that he would have this son. And that in reality he would have this great amount of heritage that would continue on more than the sands of the sea, more than the stars in the sky. And it says very plain in an act of faith that Abraham believed. And what does it say? That faith was counted as righteousness. To believe in God. But it didn't happen right away. Struggles came along the way. Doubt came into the mind. We laughed at God, whatever it may be. But it did not change God's plan. He was consistent. The world laughs every day. The world laughs at our circumstances. The world laughs in reality at our goofy belief, as they would call it. But God is consistent in spite of the world. God is consistent in spite of my own flesh. Kind of interesting. Lately I've been preaching more or less on the aspect of understanding grace by faith. And I was called on the carpet very friendly-like, and I never even... It was by Raz, and he's not here today, so I'll talk about it. Because Raz gave me this book, Saved by Grace. It's an interesting book. Or Grace, it's just called. And so anyways, he said, you know, you said more than once, saved by faith through grace. He said, it's actually saved by grace through faith. And I was thinking, you know, and we were both laughing back and forth that it's not really that big of a deal, but it is important. It's not my faith. It's not what I can conjure up. It is the grace of God that even gives us this faith to believe. That is beyond my own understanding. So Raz had 100% right to bring that to me. And we need to keep Raz and Aaron in prayer because they are in Texas for a funeral. Because Aaron's 63-year-old sister had passed away. So the Lord be with them. But that was a friendly conversation and he's absolutely right. That this righteousness in reality is a gift of God. So I do think that he did in reality change. Because then we look at, finally, Pastor, maybe we'll spend 5 minutes talking about the text that he actually opened up with. But you have to bring the whole thing into context of what took place in Abraham and Sarah's life. The struggle they had. The humanness that was there. But it didn't matter. God still was consistent to His word. And so now, he receives Isaac. And Isaac is a little older of age here. It came to pass that God turns around and said he was going to test Abraham. And he said unto him, Abraham, and I love this. It's so simple. Abraham says, here I am. In reality, he's there. What do you have of me? What do you want of me? What do you need of me? Jesse's so busy, he ain't got time for that. In my humanness? I remember one time saying, I wish God would talk to me. We don't have time for a story, but I had someone literally come to my church in Bruce Crossing when I was serving there. Not my church, our church. Someone came there in the middle of the daytime and literally walked up to me, had a prayer with me, and told me, and I never met this person, I never saw him again, told me, God wants you to know this. He does talk to you, you just don't listen. And then they left. Do we listen? Then we literally listen. And I'm telling you, this person came there and I was 5 minutes before up at the pulpit by myself praying, asking God, why don't you talk to me? And within 5 minutes, that lady was there. And she was cuckoo. But that was even better for me because I realized even her, it wasn't her. It was God speaking through her in the chaos of the moment. Do we listen? Here I am. Now what is requested is huge, mind-blowing. He turns around and he says, okay, now that I have your attention, take your son. And really what he's saying here is the only promised son. The one that I had given you. Remember that. He says, your only son, Isaac. This is the child of promise. The child of promise. That would, in reality, be the lineage of Christ Jesus. Take your only son, whom you love. I know you love him. How could you not? I mean, we love our children, but this is the awaited promise of God. Years and years and years in struggle and doubt and everything else culminated in the middle of this. Here he is, this child. He says, take this child. He says, and go into the land of Moriah. And offer him. Offer him up as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will tell you. Scripture makes this sound very nonchalant. There's no doubt about it. Can you imagine getting this? Which one of us wouldn't think that we heard crazy voices? But Abraham had previously heard something that was crazy. In human understanding. Abraham, in your late age, when it's impossible with the human body, when it's impossible with all human flesh, when it's impossible by anyone's standards, you are going to have a child. Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed and denied that she laughed. Because it was unthinkable. But yet God had proven his consistency to Abraham through all of this. God did not write him off. God did not cast him to the fire. God didn't say, enough of you. I'm going to go find somebody else. God is consistent to what he promises. Abraham, I want you to take this son and I want you to go to Mount and I want you to offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Would you get up early? Would you drag your feet? To me, this is an aspect of faith. He got up early in the morning. He saddled his ass. And he took his two young men with him, his servants with him. And he took Isaac. He takes Isaac and he bound up the wood for the burnt offering and he went. He went to the place where God had called him. Do you hear God's voice consistently through this? God called Abraham. And it seems as God is speaking to him through this whole thing. But yet Abraham had the heart to listen also. To be that servant. To trust what God speaks. And he turns around and he says he went where God called him, and on the third day he lifts his eyes. Can you imagine the feeling when you lift your eyes and God speaks to you and says, that's the place. Can you imagine how, even if we could say it in the humanness of Jesus Christ, what it felt like for him to see Golgotha? To understand that for a race that didn't understand him, a race that didn't want him because of their own sinfulness, he was willing to go there. Abraham looked beyond the circumstance and he saw the consistency of God. What he speaks is true. And he goes. That is beyond my understanding. Because that is faith. Faith carries us beyond what we can do. Faith carries us beyond the reason of the world. Beyond logic of men. He sees that place afar off. And he turns around. Can you imagine? He says to his young men, stay here. They wouldn't understand. Doesn't seem that God is speaking to them. They don't understand. They can't be part of this. This is a private time. Between God the Father, Father Abraham, and the lineage of Christ. Abraham tells the young man to stay there while the lad and I go yonder and we worship. We pay worship to God the Father. To ascribing worth. That's what worship means. To ascribe worth. Abraham, in the act of walking up this mountain, is ascribing worth to God the Father, because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to the human being. He says, we are going to ascribe worth, and we'll come back to you. And I love how he says that. This is inclusive. We're going to come back. Beyond the circumstance. How? Who knows? What's going to happen? Honestly, don't know. I'm adding this in. But can I imagine for a moment Abraham knowing and seeing and trusting and having faith in what God says? Have we had to walk in our life that way? To walk through the fires of life because we trust and know God will carry us through? My wife has been reminding me over and over again, speaking to someone else that's close to us, that gold is worth nothing until it's tried by the fire. And that's so true. We need to be refined. We go through circumstances and difficulties to be refined. And it says very plainly, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, and he laid that upon his own son. He carried, in fact, that firewood. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went up together. And Isaac's not dumb. He's seen sacrifice. He's seen what's going on. And he's walking up that hill with his dad. And he's like, Dad? Sure, son. Something's missing here. We got the firewood. I'm carrying it. You got the fire. And there's a knife. Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is the same for us in this day and age. that we see the circumstances around us. We see difficulty. We see turmoil. We see sin. We see all kinds of stuff in our life. The physical elements of problems. The physical element of offering. Where's the Lamb? Jesus says, here I am. I am that perfect Lamb without blemish sent for you. I am the one that will go upon that cross for you. We see everything else around us, and sometimes we have a tendency to focus only on that. Even Isaac's young eyes are focused on the outward elements of what's going on, and he's asking, where is the sacrifice? You don't say, well, son, you're rich. Abraham answers in a very powerful way with faith. God will offer the sacrifice. And for you and I, God speaks the same message. There is all the elements of trouble. There is the elements of what needs to be done. But it is completed because what? God the Father has offered the sacrifice in and through Jesus Christ. Where is the payment? We can ask. It is found in Him. And that's what we speak of in this day and age, in this world, in the time we live in. We speak of the one who has paid the ransom for all of us and for them. But do they know? God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went up together. They came to the place which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. Can you imagine the pain going through his mind? And he laid the wood in its exact order. And he bound Isaac. He bound him. He laid him upon the fire. Upon the wood. It wasn't lit. And he laid him upon the wood. And upon the altar of wood. And Abraham now stretches forth his hand and took the knife to complete what God has called him to do. And this is the goodness of God. He will not destroy. He will not destroy what He has promised. And if anything gives a glimmer of hope to Abraham, it is the consistency of knowing God's word to be true. This is your son. This is whom the seed will be blessed. This is how you will be blessed. Your seed will be greater than any of the sands of the sea or any of the stars. Abraham believed God above the circumstance that he was in. And that's how he was made righteous. Abraham believed in this situation. And God stopped him. Because he turns around and he says, don't harm him. Because now, Abraham, you and I are on the right page. The promise of the Messiah will continue through this lineage. And he offered the Lamb. Do we see the Lamb in the midst of our struggle? Are we too focused, if we could say it in this way, in our life on our own sacrifices? What is near and dear to us? Can we see beyond the moment of that sacrifice and actually look beyond and see the Lamb that is there? Because God offered the ultimate sacrifice for this whole world and for you and for I. There is no greater gift. Abraham lifts his eyes off of the circumstance and he sees that Lamb. That is not by chance. And that releases Isaac. Jesus Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. Has paid the price for you and I that we would not have to sacrifice. That we would not have to pay the price. Do we see it? Or do we get bogged down by the outward, external things? Can you imagine the rejoicing that is going on in Abraham's heart? Can you imagine the confirmation that he has in his own mind? God is consistent to his word. He says, I know that you love me because you didn't even withhold your own son. Abraham looked beyond the circumstance and he lifted his eyes and he saw the ram caught in the thicket. And he took the ram and he offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. There was that supplement, that imputed righteousness. And he called the place Jehovah Jireh. That is, the mount the Lord shall see, it shall be seen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we enter there too, that our eyes would be open, that we would see, and that we would look beyond our circumstance and trust in what God has said. For God said he loved this whole world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Is there a greater promise? There is not. May we go to those places of rest in the assurance of no matter what this world may throw at us, we are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. May we not withhold anything from God our Father. But may we be honest. May we love. And may we encourage one another through that same hope of promise. And may we enter into this world not looking at their circumstances, but showing them Christ, who is our sacrifice. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to gather around your word. We thank you, Father, that even through this scripture, when oftentimes we don't know what else to do, and it shows even in the humanness of Sarah and Abraham, that we laugh when we hear the unthinkable. But it doesn't stop you from being consistent. We thank you for your consistency. Because even all those laughed and scorned as Christ was upon that cross. But yet that victory is still there for us. May we continually relish in this victory. May we always look to that Lamb that has paid the sin debt of the world. And may we proclaim Him that yet one more ear may hear. We ask, Father, that you be with us as we have time of fellowship. We ask that you strengthen us and that you would use us for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray, Father, that you would also bless the hands that have served us in any way. And Father, most of all, allow us to be a light in this world. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.